I was like, what the fuck? I hit you by accident, bitch.
Yeah, right. Like an accident.
It was a total accident. Okay, all right.
Brandy hit me in the head with a shovel once.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure that was an accident.
Well, here's what happened. We had just bought like a new shovel or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it was going to be winter and we wanted to have a snow shovel. Yeah. Or maybe it was to dig a hole. I forget. Whatever.
Well, there we go. We can talk about this on the podcast.
I'm just testing here. But no. So she opens up the trunk. She's starting getting her stuff. And I'm like, just don't hit me in the head with the shovel. And she's like, what?
Bam!
Hits me in the head with the shovel.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
Okay,
that just makes total sense. You know, that just sounds like par for the course.
Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, August 13th. It's just after 1 UTC as we're recording this. I'm Sam Minter, and with me here, first of all, is Yvonne Beau, and by with me, I actually mean with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, we mean with, not virtually, but actually with.
We are in the same room.
Yes.
And this is like a first for the new version of Curmudgeon's Corner.
Yes.
And we've also got Chad Hunter, who is a friend of ours from college. We've been here in Northern Virginia. Basically, a bunch of us who went to college together got together for the first time in 10 years? About 10 years. And so, you know, we've been hanging out for the last few days and doing stuff, but the grand finale is that the three of us are doing the show live, and Chad has actually never listened to the show.
Yes, I know.
Ever.
Ever. But he decided that he wants to participate today.
Yes.
Or at least watch us and maybe chime in as he has thoughts.
I might chime in and say some stupid shit here and there.
Well, don't worry
about
it.
I don't know if it'll be anything intelligent, but, you know.
You've got good company on that, so therefore it's okay.
Good.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been interesting to see everybody again and to do the thing, and we've been doing a lot of reminiscing and all that kind of stuff, and telling all the stupid stories of our youth for the most part.
Yes, there's plenty. We keep finding out there's a lot more than we.
We keep remembering new things to talk about, but we've like told these stories to each other before. We've been present for these stories.
Yes.
You know? So it's not necessarily like we're learning a brand new thing or anything, but it's like, hey, remember that time we did this stupid thing?
Yes.
You know?
And yes.
And so all kinds of fun, exciting things. Like it was just one example. Chad and I were talking about a time when we were in the same dorm together. It was kind of an apartment building the university rented, but we ordered a pizza.
It was a bomb shelter. Don't call it an apartment. They didn't have kitchens. There were a couple apartments.
Oh yeah, you're right. It was a converted hotel room.
Yes, those were converted hotel rooms.
It was originally like some sort of hotel.
The Hampshire Hall Hotel.
Yes. Anyway, but we ordered a pizza, and it was a horrible pizza. After the first few bites, we're like, "This is disgusting. We're not going to eat any more." And so, of course, I came up with the bright idea. I had like a large jar.
It was a juice bottle.
Oh, my God.
It was
like
a glass. It was a glass juice bottle.
Yeah, so it was like one of these 1 gallon things. It was like a fairly big one.
Yeah.
And so I said, let's just take this pizza and shove it in the bottle. Now, I don't know why this particular thought came to me, but it did. And so we shoved a bunch of this pizza as much as would fit into this bottle. We filled the rest of the bottle up with water just to make sure there was, you know, something in there. I don't know. We sealed it up. And then we kept this bottle for the entire rest of the time we were at this place.
Yes.
And then...
In your closet.
It wasn't in my closet?
It was in the back of your closet.
Yeah, that's a good place for it.
Yeah, like just underneath everything else that was in there.
And so, finally, when we all left the building, we actually went down to the basement and found a place to hide it. So it's probably still
there 20 plus years later. Unless the building burned down or something we don't know.
Well, last time I went to Pittsburgh,
hazmat
still there.
Team probably had to come in and check it out.
And the fact that the building burnt down wouldn't surprise us because, you know, after You know, the year after, so I lived with Sam and Chad in this building for about a year. They lived there for two.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Sam lived for two. Chad lived there for three, okay? He stayed a year after our school decided that the place was basically dangerous to anybody's health and they shouldn't be staying there. And so, therefore, they decided to terminate the contract. They went, and so Chad stayed there, and there was a fire, okay, in the building. And apparently, as part of the fire, they decided to, like, break down every door to check to see whether there was anybody passed out unconscious or whatever inside the building. Well, building management being as cheap as they were, they decided that putting back doors was really too expensive a fix. So what they did is that they took a couple of pieces of plywood and applied padlocks to every door and just gave every person a padlock and a key in order just to lock the place. This is pretty much a very, very dumpy place, let's be clear.
And that was pretty much the last straw for me. I moved out after that semester.
I would have hoped. So,
anyway, we're not going to just spend this whole show reminiscing about our old college stories.
No. That was just, you know.
Maybe we'll sprinkle in a few more if we think about it. But we are going to talk mostly politics this show. You know, obviously, last time
around. Jay is watching this.
And Yvonne decided to, like, Periscope stream.
It says Chicago. One of the viewers.
Yes, and he's the only person in Chicago.
Well, yeah, yes. I think. Yes.
Jay Duff is the only person in Chicago.
Yes, it is.
Some
it?
Other random college friend
I'm
of ours.
I just figured that, you know, give it a question.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if
that
it
would
was
be.
Jay Duff?
Yes,
that
would
be awesome.
Yeah, so at this very moment, we've got a Periscope live feed coming of what we're doing, but Yvonne's phone's about to run out of battery.
No,
so
it's got plenty of time.
Anyway, but we have the aftermath of the Republican debate. We'll talk about all that and the developments
and all the election stuff, which is just
groovy. And then we got the Democrats, and we've got Clinton being in more trouble for email. We've got Sanders rising more into polls. We've got Biden thinking about jumping in. So we'll talk about all of that stuff. And frankly, those were the only two things that really came to mind for us for major segments, like the Republicans and then the Democrats. So it's all elections. And then we'll have a lightning round that has a few other random stuff.
We've got a whole bunch of stuff in
there. We'll have, you know, an extra super duper long lightning round or until we are all sick of it.
Yes.
So that is the plan. We got a couple more minutes in our regular intro segment. Anybody else got any fun things you want to share?
I say let's just jump right in.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I think we can jump right in.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll start talking about the Republican debates and all that. Back after this. And we're back. So first of all, before we talk about the actual aftermath of debate and all that, I just wanted to mention that we asked for feedback on our format from last week because we did the whole thing where we played the debate and we talked over it with our live thoughts as we were reacting, and we actually did get a bunch of feedback for it. So I just wanted to give the highlights. Our listener, John, enjoying the format. From now on, I'm skipping the debates and waiting for the next Curmudgeon's Corner.
That was good. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Not specifically about the debates, but Jen said that She realized that Yvonne couldn't run for public office already, but this had enough sound bites that Yvonne could even give Trump a run for his money.
No.
And another listener, William, said, "You guys are hilarious. Thank you."
Yes.
And then finally, Mark said that they loved it. Different from what they expected, but very entertaining.
Okay.
So bottom line, we got a bunch of good feedback
I guess we're doing to the base.
Question, what else could you guys sort of live feed like that that would be entertaining to people?
Good Lord.
Well, I mean, is there anything else that is at that level?
You know, the only thing I just thought of thought is the Apple.
Apple events?
Yes, that's the one. That's the only one I thought.
I suppose we could. I mean, they're always during the day, though.
They're always during the day. We could record her with the commentator.
We could do like there's one coming up in a couple weeks. But you know, this is something like this did work well. But like you know, there's going to be a Republican debate once a month. I'm not sure we want to do this once a month.
Right, we don't want to do this once a month. But I do think that, I mean, I did like doing the debate live.
We should do it with, here's the next two debates I think we should do. Mm-hmm. Number one, the first Democratic debate we should do. That's scheduled for October. The other is the first debate that has Carly in it. Because Yvonne reacting to Carly.
Well, that's apparently going to happen soon. It's going to happen in September. So we're doing the next debate.
Okay. But we don't promise to do them all.
We don't promise to do them all, but definitely we're looking like we're going to do the next debate. Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to have a debate with Carly. Fuck. Well, if you want to hear quite a lot of expletives being sounded out in very rapid fashion, that's one place to be at.
Yeah, because we all know exactly how much Yvonne likes Carly Fiorina. You know, I never did get around to watch the kids' table debate. I don't know if you...
I never did either.
Yeah, I mean, I have it on my TV.
All we heard is that Carly did great.
Yeah.
I just don't know why. Maybe because...
Well, why don't you do a show watching that for the first time?
Because it'll be old.
It's too late.
It's too late. It's way too stale.
Yeah, but, you know, we know she did well. I mean, basically, like, everybody else was like a cardboard cutout, I guess, and she, like...
I think, if you look at... Here's the thing. Carly was always a person that was very articulate, okay? Mm-hmm. Was always able to communicate in public settings. And from what I've heard, I was reading about this today, is that she's got nobody writing her own speeches, nobody coaching her on this.
She's just doing it on her own.
She's basically outsourced all her fundraising to a third party and is doing all this communication. Almost all the other candidates that were there are very heavily coached people. Right. That are just coached on those lines.
So she seemed more natural.
More natural and communicative. I mean, but that doesn't negate the fact that she's a fucking bitch.
So anyway, speaking of the aftermath of the debate, you know, we talked... My prediction at the end of the last debate was basically that Trump would be flat or up after the debate, and that... Some of the people who hadn't gotten very much attention would move up in the polls, sort of flattening things out. So there'd be a lot more in that sort of same competitive range. And the very first couple of polls that came out sort of supported that. Once we've had enough to do an average, the situation gets a little bit more complicated than that. And so I'm looking at an article called The Post-Debate Losers and Winners that 538 put out on... I guess it was actually today. Wednesday the 12th. The 12th.
Technically, like in the last 24 hours.
In the last 24 hours, yes. And so they averaged actually six post-debate polls that came out. One from Franklin Pierce in New Hampshire, a national one from Ipsos, whoever the hell they are, national one from Morning Consult, a PPP one in Iowa, a national Rasmussen one, an Iowa Suffolk one, and a SurveyMonkey one that was national. And averaging all these together and looking at the change for the... So not like the absolute...
Right, it's just who went up, who went down,
whatever.
Okay.
So here's where we ended up. The winners, the people who went up, were Carly Fiorina, up 6% from where she was before.
Fucking unbelievable.
Then Rubio and Carson, both up slightly under 2.5% from where they were before.
So Rubio did also gain. Okay.
Rubio gained.
Okay, all right.
In that first poll, he didn't.
I'm still befuddled, like, how Carson could win. Carson was a moron. I mean...
Well, look, like, here's the bottom line. Here's why he went up 2.5%.
Because people recognize his damn name?
Yes, because, you know, before, no, I mean, there are people who know here. He's a, like, he's got, he's well known in conservative circles.
I get that.
But a lot of people who had no idea who the hell this guy was saw him for the first time.
Wow.
And whether or not they were, like, super positively impressed by him, now they recognize his name, and now sometimes they pick his name when they talk.
Unbelievable. Okay.
So he was up 2.5. Cruz was up 1.3. Paul was up 0.4. Anyway, winners: Fiorina, Rubio, Carson, Cruz.
Right.
Then losers: Walker. Trump actually did go down a little bit. Like, if you actually look at the average of all six of these polls...
He actually went down, really?
Down 2.3%.
Well, he was... You know, we talked about...
But he didn't plummet.
He didn't plummet.
He didn't plummet. But the thing is that I guess that I expected him to cause more of a splash in the debate and that it would be a wider swing one way or another.
Right.
And Trump was actually... You know, other than getting in that stupid exchange with Megyn Kelly, and at the beginning, because at the beginning he did the whole "I raised my hand" and did the Megyn Kelly thing. After that, he really didn't do a lot in the debate. That was my thought.
Right. Yeah, he was his usual brash self in a couple places, but like, yeah, I mean, down 2.3% isn't very much, and he's still in the lead.
He's still in the lead.
He's still in the lead.
Right.
You know, and then, so we got him down, we got Walker and Trump down, and Jeb Bush down a little bit as well. Bush was down 2%.
Okay.
So you had, the surprises here to me were Bush and Walker were down. Like
by a lot.
Well, 2%, 4%.
Well, I mean, percentage terms, that's 20% down. I mean, if you think about it, he was 12 to 10. I mean, that's a lot of...
You're right, you're right.
I mean, that's a lot of loss.
And Walker was down 4.6%. So that's a big loss
for
Walker.
That's a huge loss.
And so it's... Now, of course, as everyone will point out, including us, because I'm about to do it, polls this early, this far before the first voting... don't correlate very well to what will actually happen.
Nothing. Like, not one.
Like right now, we're not talking at all about like, oh, Trump's in the lead, therefore he's going to win. Blah blah blah. No, that's not how it works.
Yes, yes.
But what it does tell you is it tells you right now about everybody's position and how they're moving around and. You know, but we've got lots and lots of things that are going to happen between now and the first voting that, depending on how they flesh out the calendars, is either going to be January or February.
So he still haven't nailed down that
thing. Right now, it looks like the Iowa caucuses are going to be in early February, but there's still calendar events shuffling around, so if somebody tries to get sneaky and move before Iowa, then Iowa will move earlier to stay first.
Okay.
You know, things like that. But,
Jesus, it's not even January. It's going to be in February that the Iowa caucuses start?
Yeah, I think that's what it looks
so
like
late?
Right now. A lot of people thought they started too early last time around.
Wow. Yeah, wow. I mean, jeez, it's August. For the love of God.
Well, we got a long way to go. That is basically what you're telling me right
now.
Yeah,
we got a long way to go. And look, and here's what we've said before multiple times about Trump. Okay, he's in the lead. He's got like 25%. But that means 75% of Republicans don't like
him. Want to vote him. Yeah.
But the problem is they're split between these 16 other candidates at the moment. And so... Well, duh, you know. Now, that field is going to narrow. I mean, and you and I have the over-under bet from before, but it looks like...
Looks like you're totally right, because one of the things I just saw today was that Perry's campaign is completely self-destructing. Perry, I don't know, Chad, is like the Texas governor who jumped into the race, and, I mean, he's running out of money.
He was an absolute...
He is no longer paying his staff.
He was an absolute embarrassment in the last election.
Last time around.
Oh, my God, yes.
So he has no chance anyway.
He's like, well, I was on back medicine and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, but no, his campaign is completely self-destructing. I don't think he's going to make... I don't think he's going to make Iowa.
Once you start hitting news stories that says he's no longer paying his staff... Okay, you're close to the end.
You're close, yeah, you're done.
We've also started to see stories from inside the Rand Paul camp.
That they are also
in chaos. because he's not doing anywhere near as well as they expected to by this point. He's not matching where his father was 4 years ago. And, you know, so he's starting to get people on his staff
talking about defecting. Was there was this whole thing where apparently the state of Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Where is that? That he had pushed for this change from caucus to a primary.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. And he had promised to raise the funds.
It's
not happening.
Right.
And it was going to cost $500,000 to do this change. He promised that he was going to raise the funds in order to make that change. And so far, he has not raised a single dime. It's not happening. He keeps saying that he's going to, but since he's doing so poorly in the polls and in the campaign, then I'm like, I don't see how he's going to be able to raise the funds in order to do that. And the reason he needed to do that was because he was hedging his bets. Because, yeah, I may not be president, so I want to get back in, you know, back in the, what is this, Senate?
Senate.
I'm like, geez.
And so one of the questions here is, at some point, like, now he could always just not run in the primary in Kentucky. Like, if he's not winning anyway, that doesn't matter. It doesn't stop him in the...
Right, but it needs to be for the primary in Kentucky.
Right.
That he cannot be on both the presidential and to keep his seat.
So he could always just, like, not run into presidential primary in Kentucky and resolve this.
But you know, it's like he needed to raise his money, and so his campaign's in trouble. I mean, that's another campaign that's definitely in trouble. I don't know if any other candidate really... I'm talking about candidates who like, in trouble. I mean, because... regardless of what you say about Bush and his numbers, you and I don't think he's in trouble.
Right, because he's got tons and tons of money behind him. He's got tons of institutional momentum. And so, yeah, I mean, he's got what he needs to, like, you know, his strategy here is very similar to what Romney's was last time around when we had this kind of chaos.
Don't do anything disastrous.
Slow and steady. Let all of these other guys slowly self-destruct, and then you're the one left standing.
Exactly right.
You know? And I think that's what...
And I think if you let Trump do his thing, I mean, he had his surge, but I'm looking at the different polls that came out every week, like for the numbers. I mean, you really see a path where he's had this surge. But even the later polls that have been coming out, the numbers have started coming down to earth on Trump, okay? I mean, I think everybody just got all hot and heavy over him, you know, saying his bullshit lines, whatever the hell he says. I mean, because it's just, you know, ripping the, you know, the big door and all the crap and whatnot, and... I think he's going to come down to earth like happened before with a lot of these Republican candidates. I just really do. I don't see how he can maintain his momentum.
I think he's probably going to go down from his peak, but I'm not sure I think he's going to stay near the top for a while here, because I think the real end to where Trump is not going to happen from Trump collapsing in the polls. Because, like I tweeted after he got into his scuffle with Megyn Kelly, not the one in the debate, but the one afterwards where he's, like, talking about blood coming out of her nose or her whatever. that was his line. That was his line. He was saying, like, and maybe that...
And then he tried to, like, try to backtrack.
No, he didn't. Yeah, and so, anyway, like... And I'm not talking about that, because the people who are Trump supporters right now eat that shit up.
Yeah, I guess they do.
They want him to be argumentative. They want him to be brash. They want him to be insulting people. That's what they're going for. It's not going to come from the Trump supporters bailing on him. It's going to happen from these other candidates starting to wash out. So instead of 16, we already talked about, you know, we're going to get to 15 and 14 and 13, and you're going to see the numbers start to lift for Bush and Rubio and Walker and those folks.
God, but here's a question that I...
And Fiorina.
Oh, God. But anyway, but here's a confusion I've got with the situation right now. Before, you remember, which Republican primary was the one that, that became the DNC chairman? He went out on stage. Howard Dean, right? Which year was this? Which campaign was this? 2004? 2006?
2004 sounds right.
Yeah, it must have been for 2004. So Howard
Maybe
Dean...
Maybe 2000.
No, it's 2004.
Okay.
So Howard Dean goes on stage and pulls basically what by these standards would be a Trump, right?
Yeah.
And Howard Dean gets killed in the polls.
Right, over one little thing.
Over one little thing. He got murdered in the polls.
And it was blown up. It's also one of those things that was like specific camera angles looking. If you were the people in the room didn't even think it was normal.
And he didn't insult anybody or like say any of this stuff. And his campaign like self-destructed. What the hell happened in 10 years that we went from Howard Dean going and like pulling that event and doing exactly, and Chad is pulling up the pictures exactly, doing that, and like that's him hilarious. Getting killed in the primaries to like where Trump goes and like, you know, goes and like says that Megyn Kelly has got blood coming out of her, whatever, and he's leading the polls. What is happening? I mean, I'm trying to understand what the hell changed.
Fox News.
You think that's it?
No. That's an oversimplification. But what you have, I mean, you have a unique set of situations here where you've got the very divided Republican field. You've got the very polarized public. I think, you know.
And by the way, for those of you who haven't seen it, like Chad just pulled it up. It's on YouTube. The video is called "The Scream That Doomed Howard Dean." There's a video on YouTube called that. You can pull it up and you can see what I'm talking about if you have not seen this event.
Yes, okay. But you know, look, and honestly, like, let's say Trump was running as a Democrat, I think the reaction would be different.
Oh my God, he would be toast. He'd be done.
Yeah, but you've got this core group of the Republicans who are like, you know, he's not being PC. He's sticking it to all those people who are all uber sensitive about everything, and that's exactly what we want. We want someone who's not afraid to offend people.
Okay.
I mean, you should be familiar with that, Ivan.
No. I'm sorry, but we just had this discussion the other day. I'm sorry, okay? The fact that I'm sometimes brash, I'm sorry. I do not like to offend people. I am very opinionated. I don't. I don't, okay? Now, I actually, you know, look, when your mom wrote us that note, I felt bad.
About us swearing too much.
Yes. Okay, all right.
Can we look back at what happened in the last election with Trump? And draw any parallels.
Well, the thing is, he didn't just declare officially. No.
He was...
He stayed out.
He was in the 2012
election. No. He kept saying he was going to be, and he kept talking about it, but he never officially jumped in. Okay. So we just don't know.
Okay.
And honestly, if you try to like look at back at any of those candidates that were back in the 2012 election, we look at Herman Cain or like Gingrich or all of these guys. They were not at the level of like insults and lunacy that Trump has been. Not even close. I mean, I don't think.
Not the insults, but lunacy. I don't know.
But lunacy, but not the insults.
No. I mean,
and not offending like that.
He's got a different shtick than any of them. I mean, this is his act. This is what he does. But like, you know, again, I think, you know, the end is going to come when you start having candidates dropping out. And the other guys are going to start picking up more people, whereas I think Trump is at or near his ceiling. I don't think he can go any higher.
I agree. I don't think he's going any higher. I totally agree. I mean, I think it. You know, look, like we said, it's follow the money right now, and the money is really flowing to Bush, regardless of what the hell's happening with this shit. I mean, Bush is getting all the damn money. I mean, really. I mean, the next guy in the money is Cruz, and Cruz is another guy who's polarizing. It's all shit, and it's less after half the money than Bush is getting. So, unless the money flow stops to Bush.
Right, and like money isn't...
Which could change.
Right, and money isn't 100% determinative. I mean, it is possible for somebody who doesn't have the most money to win, but it's an indication of the amount...
Support.
It's an indication of support, but more importantly, it's an indication of the amount of support from the people with money who... are really actually very influential on this process, more so than the quote-unquote grassroots or whatever.
Right.
Because you fundamentally, like, you're looking at the party establishment and what they want.
Right.
And, you know, there are all kinds of... You know, every once in a while, one of these rebel groups wins and beats the party establishment. But it's really hard.
It's very rare.
Because the party establishment has all kinds of tricks they can pull.
Yeah.
They can bring in additional funding. They can change the rules of the game in the middle of the game.
That's
in terms
right.
of how you collect delegates during the delegate race. Or even at the freaking convention itself. It is so stacked in favor of the establishment. That's why there's a book that I've been meaning to read, but I, of course, haven't, called The Party Decides.
You keep reading books.
I do keep reading books.
Not this one, though.
Not this one, though. But and maybe some year. But the general point of it is simply that historically, despite the fact that we moved away from the smoke-filled rooms and stuff like that, really, the party establishment has a huge amount of influence over who gets to be the nominee.
Absolutely.
And it's very, very hard for these outsiders. I mean, and it's kind of like, you know, we would talk about Iran and the presidential elections.
Iran where?
Not...
Oh, never mind. Okay.
You missed the presidential erections. Anyway, the presidential elections in Iran.
Wow. Freudian slip.
Yeah,
we're out Bill Clinton running, okay, right now, okay, all right, so...
Anyway, my point is they have the supreme leader has to approve who can run for president.
Okay.
And you've essentially got something similar here where the party establishment may not pick the one particular candidate, but if they don't believe you are even in the ballpark,
you're not going to get the support.
You're going to get everything stacked against
exactly.
you. And the only way you can win in that scenario is if you really do have a massive groundswell
exactly.
for
and
you.
And you got to be like at least like, you know, acceptable candidate, because I mean that's the thing. I mean, for all the things we talked about, a lot of these candidates that people deem unelectable don't get the support. It's simple as that.
Well, and you know, of course, we've got Trump talking about running as a third party if he doesn't get the
Republican
nominee.
Wavering, like yes, no, yes, no.
Well, there was reports of him saying he wasn't going to do it, but he denied them outright.
Right.
He said that never happened.
So he denied them outright. So he's still like... So basically, we go back to the thing. Did Bill Clinton put him up to this? I mean, really, is he the damn fifth column for the Democrats to just fucking stick him in there for the fucking Republicans?
I must say, like... First of all, these rumors have been going on for a number of weeks now, and the latest fuel on this fire was last week when it came out that the week before Trump announced he had a phone call with Bill Clinton where Bill Clinton encouraged him to take a larger role in the Republican Party. And so, but look, there have been other things that say, timeline-wise, he had told various other people he was going to announce prior to that call with the Clinton, but there... is no doubt that he has had, you know, a relationship with the Clintons going back decades as well. And I don't think this is what's going on. I don't think the Clintons put him up to it. But on the other hand, I must say, if they did...
They're geniuses! Genius! I mean, absolute sheer genius!
Like, can you see, like, you go through this whole process... Trump's about to get the Republican nomination. And then he's like... Psych, I'm a Democrat.
I mean, it's just incredible. So I don't know. I mean, this is all.
But you know, that's actually the kind of thing. Like, I always wonder why this kind of thing doesn't happen more often. Like, you know, in even like there are some states that actually have open primaries, but even in the closed primary states. All it takes is you fill out a damn form a couple months before the election
and change a party.
Yeah, so like, why the hell don't we on a regular basis have the parties fucking with each other and messing up each other's primaries?
He doesn't even have to do a psych before the Republican convention. Hell, he says he's running third party. He can go all the way to the damn election, claim I am running Republican, go off, do my third party thing, fuck the whole thing up, Democrats win, it's a lock. I mean, forget it. I mean, this is just like the... What's his name? Jesus Christ, when we were in college. Fucking guy.
Perot.
Perot scenario back from then.
But I think Trump has a sort of unique just quality about him that a lot of people don't have. You can't just throw a random person.
No,
combination of celebrity and...
But that's the thing that makes it even sheer genius.
Right,
even
obnoxious personality that you...
Something say that it sounds,
there,
kind of sounds
just like
me.
Few
but
people in America that could fill that role.
Well,
even wanted to do it.
And let's be honest, as people who watch this stuff, we don't want Trump to go anywhere.
No,
this is so much fun.
Yes, no,
we want him to go all the freaking way.
Absolutely. No, this is like great.
Or as a number of people have tweeted, it's all fun and games until we actually elect President Trump.
Yeah, no, it's not gonna happen. Wow, I'm not worried about that.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. No. Unless
that's
what the hell happened.
That's a scary thought.
I know, yes it is. But, okay, well, switching to the Democrats.
Wait, let's take a break.
Are we going to go to the Democrats?
We're going
to
take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the Democrats.
Let's talk about the Democrats.
So, yeah, I forgot to... We were talking about giving Chad the timer...
Yeah,
to
we
keep
didn't
us,
do that.
We didn't give him the damn timer.
We're screwed.
I was going to say he's not doing a very good job, but we didn't give him the timer.
We didn't give him the timer.
Anyway, we'll be back after this.
You know something? If you had told us 1 year ago that we were going to come in third in Iowa, we would have given anything for that. And you know something? Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. We're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Ah! And that was Howard Dean in 2004. In November 2004, I think.
No, it was in January.
January 2004, sorry.
Yeah, November 2004.
Yeah, exploding his campaign.
Yeah. And so, like you were saying, we will talk about the Democrats momentarily, but, like, yeah, this, like, and he wasn't actually in the lead, but he got third place in Iowa. He had all the momentum.
And he had momentum, everybody and he was ahead in a lot of polls.
He was heading up in all the polls, too.
Yes.
Like he was challenging, and... Then after this, he just completely and totally collapsed and was gone. And, like, compared to, like, even any single sentence you randomly pick from Trump, this is nothing.
Nothing. And he completely, like, got self-destructed in the polls.
Well, and you got to think about that. There are other ones, like, I think they're... What is survivable is different now than it has been before.
Well, here are things.
I mean,
you had
that guy in the 60s who cried.
Well.
Muskie.
And
you had Gary Hart.
Well, Gary Hart, yeah. You know, they keep telling reporters to follow him.
And they
to
did.
See if he was banging somebody. And, you know, you can follow me. And lo and behold, they followed him. They found him. He was banging somebody else. Okay? So, you know, did that.
It was a different person than they thought?
Yes. Okay. And, I don't know, you had the whole thing with Clinton and, like, Jennifer Flowers.
I mean, he survived all that.
And he survived the whole thing. You know, so
well,
I mean,
Clinton survived a lot of things.
Well, but I'm talking
there was
you know,
a
like
lot
in
of
the,
bad
in the
things
primary,
that came out in his campaign.
Look, it was, but really in the campaign, his two key moments that he had were really the whole sex scandal with Jennifer Flowers, which came out during the primaries, and he survived that. Okay, somehow I still don't
somehow. Understand.
Somehow, because I...
Well, the Jennifer
that's
Flowers...
really bad.
The Jennifer Flowers...
But he did?
No, he survived it for one reason, and it was Hillary.
Hillary.
He came out, he had an interview with Hillary, where Hillary was like, you know, we had problems in our marriage, we got over it, it's nobody's business but ours, and I accept it, and everybody else should too, and they basically left him alone about that afterwards.
Right. And you know, I mean, later on his problem was the impeachment, he's already president, so whatever. I mean, at that point, that didn't make a...
Right.
You know, that didn't mean anything. But, but I guess, you know, what the standard is, or what the heck is acceptable to the electorate, I guess, with all the stuff has changed.
Well, it is very different. The whole culture is different in terms of what's acceptable and what's not. And it's also very different, like we said before, like this would be entirely different if it was on the Democratic side than if it's on the Republican side.
I do agree, yes.
I mean, like, you know, Trump can be a Republican and say Mexicans are all rapists.
Yeah,
and
you say that as a Democrat, you're dead.
Right.
That moment you're dead.
You know, so anyway, Democrats, a couple things to say over here. One is that we had the first poll just within the last day or so that shows Sanders actually beating Clinton in New Hampshire. Now, it's one poll in one state.
Right.
But it's a level of weakness. I've got to think the people in Clintonland are very unhappy.
They got to be very upset.
I mean, like, this may even be an outlier poll. Like, yes. If you look at it compared to others. But, like, the fact that anybody, anywhere, is even talking about the fact that Sanders might be winning states,
right.
Let alone New Hampshire, you know, has got to be making them nervous. Now, they're still way, way ahead.
Right.
In everything.
In
funding, in endorsements, in national polling. Even if you do poll averages, even in the New Hampshire and Iowa kind of polls. But at the same time, this is the kind of weakness, and we've talked about this before, where, you know, as long as she's, like, comfortably above 50%, then, okay, nobody serious is going to go out.
Look, I think in the overall, like, if you look at still the national numbers.
Well, yeah, but...
She's still at that.
The thing to remember, of course, is that national is not how we do
primaries. No, I know. Totally agree. But the thing is that even... Look, we've had many campaigns where we've had, like, the front runners lose early states.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
I mean,
geez. It's actually almost common.
It's almost common that they lose some of these early states. I mean, I still remember, what was it, Dole losing, what was this, against Buchanan, I think it was?
That was Bush losing against Buchanan.
Bush losing Bush losing against Dole, it was in one of the early states once. There was Buchanan beating Bush in one of the early states. There's been a lot of those, and maybe I'm getting the candidates in specifics wrong, but there's been, like, a lot of, like... I mean, it is very
last time around, the winner in Iowa, depending on how you counted, was either Santorum or Paul.
That's right. That's right.
It was not Romney. It was reported on day one it was Romney, and then it was corrected. It was actually close. But,
yeah, right.
And, like, in terms of actual number of votes, Santorum won.
But
in terms of delegates, Paul won.
But bottom line is, Romney did not have an overwhelming win.
Right. Yes.
At all. Okay? At the early states. And I think, you know, when we're talking about Clinton and Obama back in 2008, if I remember correctly, those early states were also very...
Well, but that's where it came in. Obama had a surprise win in Iowa.
Right.
And that's what sort of suddenly threw the Clintons were assuming they were going to walk away from it up until the day of the Iowa caucus.
Iowa caucus.
And then they knew, like, Obama was nipping at their heels, but they figured they'd win Iowa, they'd win New Hampshire, they'd wrap it up.
And they did.
And of course, that's not how it happened.
Right.
Because once he won Iowa, they're like, wow, he can win Iowa? He's real. You know, and then a lot more people flocked to Obama. But look, the thing here is that if the Clinton campaign starts smelling weak, that's when you get other candidates starting to consider jumping in, even if it's late.
Oh, so say it's like some guy with the last name of Biden?
Yeah, like Uncle Joe.
Not Uncle Joe.
But, you know, because we got, like, Webb and Sanders and O'Malley.
Yeah.
But,
right.
Like, you know, none of those are, like, catching fire. Like, Sanders, you know, okay, Sanders has a lot of support. A lot of people are after him. But, yeah, I don't see a scenario where he wins the nomination. But, like, if Clinton starts looking weak and Biden says, this is my chance.
Right.
Then we could have a real race on our hands because Clinton has been doing this inevitable thing because pretty much everybody else is like, Clinton's inevitable. I'm not even going to bother
running. That's exactly right.
But, like, if you get serious people like Biden jumping in, or you could see others. I mean, Kerry said he's not interested, but you could see Kerry running again.
Sure.
There are a number of other Democrats who have, you know, there was all this talk about Warren. You could see Warren jumping in.
Sure.
Yeah, there are a number of candidates who could come out of the woodwork if it looks like Clinton is crashing and burning. And so what we've got here is, one, Sanders is showing her support to be extremely soft in the polls. So this particular New Hampshire poll not only showed Sanders winning in New Hampshire, it also showed that most of the people who were supporting Clinton also were sort of like, Clinton. There wasn't a lot of excitement about Clinton.
Right.
And a majority of those people said they thought Biden should get in.
Majority of people said Biden should get in?
That's insane.
Well, I gotta be honest with you. I'm one of those guys.
I don't think there's any way he has a chance.
Well, that's the thing, and like that's been conventional wisdom, and that's what we've said on this show before. It's like Biden's not going to run. He knows that he's not going to win, and he's done the running for president and not winning thing twice. He's not going to do it again,
and he hasn't done anything to prepare as vice president to even suggest that he'll be a good president.
That's arguable. You could argue that point.
Which, I mean, one of the things is a lot of
you could argue either way. I don't think you're right that it's not like it's that clear cut a case. What he does have on the plus side is that I am pretty sure. Look, Biden has been Obama's pit bull dog at everything that Obama has ever needed, and the reality is that if Biden decides to run. Honestly, I do think that who is he going to put his weight behind to support for the nomination? It's probably going to be Biden.
Now, I think if Biden and Clinton were both running, I think Obama stays neutral until there's a clear winner.
You think so?
I don't think he picks sides.
I don't think he would pick sides. Here's the thing, though. If Biden doesn't run, you see, it turns into a negative for Hillary because Obama would be trying to help get her nomination. If she's the only candidate, I think he is because he wants the Democrats to win.
Yeah, I mean, like, if the moment it becomes clear that there's a winner, Obama's going to support that winner.
Absolutely.
I don't think he's going to jump in before that point.
But that's my point. So the thing is that by not being there, by Biden jumping in, what's going to happen is it's going to cause that delay. It's going to make it that she doesn't get that for a long time. Exactly right.
Well, and see, here's the thing with Biden. I mean, fundamentally, I don't think he wants. If he felt like his path was only to delay the inevitable of Hillary Clinton. He's only going to do it if he really and truly thinks that he's got a shot, but B, that what makes him have the shot is he thinks Clinton's going to implode. And either that he's already seeing signs of it or
if Clinton keeps being this soft, and she continues to be, because if it
comes, what do you mean by soft?
Soft support means, like, for example, like right now Bernie Sanders came out in a poll that he was ahead of Hillary in New Hampshire.
Well, like, but more so than that, just even the people who are supporting her being like, well, I would look at other people if there was somebody else.
Exactly. There's a high percentage of the people being polled that say that all the time. So they're not. It's not like
they're thrilled about
rabid,
Hillary.
Like, you know, I'm pounding the table like Howard Dean. You know, kind of like we're for Hillary. You know, yeah. And we're gonna go to Washington.
Yes, yes, but there's not a lot of like. I mean, if you remember in 2008, both on the Hillary side and the Obama side, there were people who were so excited.
Oh, yeah.
So excited about Hillary, so excited about Obama. They were like, go, 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 go. They were throwing all kinds of effort into that. This time with Hillary, you know, I hear very little of that.
Nobody's like, excited.
I mean, everybody's sort of just, well, of course it's Hillary. It's her turn.
We're going to have to vote for her.
We need to do that.
We need the Democrats to win, and we're going to vote for her, and that's it.
Right. And so, but if we see, I mean, the margin I've always said is if Hillary drops below 50% in national polls, you're going to see more people jump in. Mm. And she's not there yet. She's at like 54 or something like that. But she has been declining. She, you know, and that's to be expected to some degree. But I don't know. And the thing with Biden, though, is he said he's going to make a decision this month, actually. He said he's going to decide in August.
Okay.
So we've in the next few weeks, Biden should say yay or nay. I suspect, like, I don't know, like, if I had to make the decision, if I was Biden and I had to make the decision today, I would still say no. Like, I don't see the path right now. But, you know, the drumbeat against Hillary keeps coming. Like, I posted an update on my site on the general election stuff where I do election tracking and electiongraphs.com, everybody.
Thank you.
electiongraphs.com, even though I haven't branded it yet. But anyway, whatever. It'll get you there. There has not been... I do updates whenever the polls change. Like, states change categories, things like that. And there has not been one of my updates that was unambiguously positive towards Hillary Clinton since May. Every single update since then has had the Republicans gaining ground on her. Right. There were a couple little things where she improved, but they were swamped by other changes on
now,
the
now let's and be now let's be that, clear now that's about general this. Election. Yeah, that's general election, and let's be clear about this. I mean, Hillary's advantage was like ridiculously overwhelming. Oh yeah,
she's still way ahead.
Right, and it was like ridiculously overwhelming. So it went from ridiculously overwhelming to, well, it's still a walk away for Hillary, but it's not as much.
Yes, yeah, no, absolutely clear there. But and then with all these polls, I mean, things are not trending in Hillary's direction. But I think what what Biden is doing is basically he's like, his decision has to be, does it look like she is imploding completely? Does it look like she's on a path towards a few months from now just being in pitiful shape? And I don't think we're quite there yet, but the drumbeat is just so worrying there. We got the poll stuff, and then the next thing to talk about is the damn email thing again. Right. More news on that this week.
Now she turned over to email server, of course, but, you know...
Well, no, but that was prompted by additional revelations that there were indeed classified documents on that server. Now, she's made the argument that they weren't classified at the time. They weren't.
But everybody has said, the Inspector General said that she's wrong on that already on multiple occasions. Mm. So, yeah. I don't know what the hell she's arguing about.
That's a very, very serious error that she made that should not be overlooked.
And actually,
I don't think she should be able to recover from this.
And actually, I wanted to mention this because Chad, at one of our conversations over dinner the other day, mentioned that he's in a class that I had previously on this show said I thought was very few people, which is people who are actually in the middle who could have gone, who could go Democrat or Republican, might have voted for Hillary, might not have, but then where the email issue is actually decisive.
It's a deal breaker for me.
There you go.
That rules her out. Just I couldn't vote for her.
Hmm?
I could not vote for Hillary because of that.
Right. Even if everything else was great. Even
everything else was good. That's just me.
I actually completely agree that it's a very serious
error. National security to the point where lives could possibly have been lost over what she did.
Listen, the only reason why I am a little bit like... I completely agree with you that it's egregious. I'm 100%. And I think Sam also agrees with this. I think that the only reason I'm a little bit a notch below that on that, to be disconsiderer, is that it just seemed, as ridiculous as a practice it seemed, that every frickin' Secretary of State, up to her, had used her personal email exclusively to conduct business as Secretary of State of the United States, which is preposterous and insane, but for whatever reason,
it is.
They all thought it was...
There's a level of awareness of cybersecurity now that was not present in past administrations, and now everybody knows that things like OPM.gov can be hacked.
But that server
in her house was not secure and able to be hacked. There's an awareness of it that wasn't there in the past.
Well, the one thing to remember that there is that awareness now, but when all this was playing out was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Or longer at this point.
A little longer at this point, yeah.
And the one thing that has been, and I kind of knew this before from previous experiences I've had, previous news stories, even my own personal experience, but the one thing that's absolutely clear out of this seems to be that the federal government's technology
sucks,
and ability to do keep up to date, keep secure, is just awful.
I agree with that.
You know, it's just like you'd think
look at healthcare.gov.
Yes, yeah, that's a prime example.
Fiasco. Beyond disaster.
Look at the OPM.
My personnel records were hacked and stolen.
Yeah. Okay?
Look
at the OPM breach, for example, that we had. Look at the hacking of the White House email system, the non-secure system.
Yep.
Look at the Pentagon hacking thing just this week, it's embarrassing, and even
aside from the pure security stuff we were talking about, archiving, like the fundamental notion that, like, if your emails are public record because you're an official and they're discoverable for, you know, everything from just historians to, you know, whatever other reasons, this shouldn't be something that the individuals decide on their own, like, I'm going to archive this email. This should be something that happens automatically behind the scenes constantly. Every email that is sent or received from an official account automatically gets archived according to whatever rules are set up for that.
And there's rules in the government about records, and most emails are supposed to be considered records and archived.
And so, for instance, in this case, one of the things that came out is that, the first of all, okay, Hillary did her own system, but the State Department system itself, after Clinton was Secretary of State, had a new system put in place for archival purposes. But it was set up so that for an email to be archived,
you have to actively
mark it to be archived. And then they did some. There was at least one news article I remember that looked at that and found out that, like, in the entire time Clinton was Secretary of State, there were like 5 emails archived or something like that, because nobody pushed the damn button. You know,
right, it's should have been automatic.
That's crazy.
It should have been all automatic.
But the point is this: like, they're looking into whether there was something criminal here, and maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. It's unclear what that situation is, but it's going to continue to play out over months and months and months.
And this is our own. From being in the government, it's hard for me. I mean, in Department of Defense. But it's hard for me to imagine a high official in my organization using
personal
email for all official business. Everything from the office of the director and any email that anybody does comes from their official email.
Yeah.
It's just the way you do things, on TDY or not.
Listen, we were discussing about whether I conduct business at my company, or Sam, sending emails for, like, business from my personal email account, honestly, to me, is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just insane. And I think Sam agrees as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something like you... It's one of the earliest things, and the first time I ever had an email for a job that was specifically for that job, you separate your personal and your business. You don't let them mix, period, end of story. Now, the other thing I'd mentioned in one of our offline conversations about this is you could make an argument that says even the personal communications of a Secretary of State are sensitive information.
Yes.
And probably should be fucking classified.
Yes.
Like, even if she is sending messages about planning her daughter's wedding or whatever, you know, hey, that wedding is a terrorist target. Because she's the goddamn Secretary of State.
That's exactly right.
You know, and so, yeah. I mean, like, even I was saying, you know, one of the emails that came out was, like, her emailing back and forth with somebody trying to get instructions on how to use a fax machine, because she had no idea how to use a fax machine. Okay?
I know, that's beautiful.
I mean, there was a whole sequence of emails, like, covering an entire afternoon.
What?
About
hit the green button? Yes, the green button!
Yeah,
it's kind of hilarious. Hit the green button!
Wait, nothing came out. Anyway.
Did you put paper in it?
I put it up. Anyway, whatever. The point is, even something that seemingly is innocuous about that, like, if you've got a potential person listening in from, you know, the Russian intelligence or Chinese intelligence or whatever, that gives you insight into the Secretary of State.
This idiotic statement, did she say some idiotic statement that she thought she's getting all her emails monitored or something by the Russians or something?
No, that was Kerry.
Oh, that was Kerry.
Kerry today or the day before, sometime recently, in an interview said, look, I think there's a very good chance that the Russians and Chinese are reading my email.
Oh, that's actually... Excuse me. He's not wrong.
And he said, and so I write them accordingly.
Well, I... you know what? Can you really argue that?
No, you can't.
Using like a Gmail or something?
No. He's the first Secretary of State to actually use... A government account. Government.gov.
Okay. That's one of the things. We talked about all these breaches. It's not actually all that clear that the government emails are any more secure than the one that was in her
basement. No, I agree. But I think that for transparency's sake, I think the biggest thing for transparency's sake, it doesn't make sense. And from a security standpoint, I still, like you and I mentioned, whatever you can say about government security and whatever. I'm sorry, you don't solve it by sticking a server in your house.
No.
Yep.
No, you do not. And even what Kerry said, like, if you really are fairly confident that they're listening, Why are you using it at all? I mean,
probably you're writing innocuous stuff.
I know, but...
Hey, set up lunch for me at 12. I mean, yes, I can send that by email, but I guess what you do is you're guarded about what you're discussing.
Yeah. Then you might
have... There's a lot of things, like his travel itinerary or other stuff that I'm sure he's not that concerned about. He's probably talking about something that's a little bit more sensitive, strategic, or whatever, whatnot. Probably pick up a secure phone line to make the call.
Right, but I mean, you know... It would be within the realm of reason to say if you're these kinds of officials, you always need to be using the secure channel.
I agree. I totally agree.
You know, even if you are talking about things that you think are fairly innocuous.
Maybe it's something that he's decided based on all these breaches and other things. It's a protocol that he's following now.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
We've gone long. Probably time to move on.
Time to move on. We'll see if Biden or somebody jumps in. It'll be more fun. But
how about Howard Dean? No?
Does he have another chance?
He would.
He's been doing some. I've heard some interviews with him recently. He's an interesting guy. But and he did get a raw deal from that.
He got a massively raw deal on that. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. That was just a raw deal.
Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after this with a lightning round with whatever the hell else we come up with for our last round.
Yes.
Back after this.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you. So this is a break, this is a wonderful break. A wonderful break, yes indeed this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break, yes. This is a break. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over.
And we are back.
We're back.
We're going to do a lightning round. We don't know how long we'll go, but you know, whatever.
We'll go however.
Yeah, so, let me start. I will start this time.
All right.
I watched a movie.
What did you watch?
The Empire Strikes Back.
And?
It was good. It's still, like, the best of the Star Wars movies, I think.
You think it is?
You know, everybody seems to always say that Empire Strikes Back is the best one, and that no one likes Jedi because of the Ewoks. I actually always liked Return of the Jedi.
I like Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, and I'll watch that again soon, probably. But
I gotta be honest with you. I actually probably rank of the first three.
Yeah,
I probably rank that one as the weakest for myself.
Empire? Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked better either Jedi or the first one.
Okay. Well, you know, Empire was good. I liked it. I watched the special editions. There wasn't anything super duper distracting about it. It was fine. Like, I know some people get really bent out of shape about that. I'm slowly working my way through all the Star Wars stuff to get to the new movie in December. So, like...
I'll tell you what was terrible is about 13 minutes into my first viewing of The Phantom Menace, my heart sinking and going, oh no.
Why?
Jar Jar?
No.
The kid. The kid.
No. It was just...
By then you knew it sucked.
Yeah, I mean, just, oh my God, no.
Right.
You know, and nothing had even happened yet.
Well, that was the point.
Maybe that was the point. But it was just like...
They're talking about trade negotiations and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, the pod race and everything else unfolded. And, you know, the scene with the underwater people.
Yeah. The Gungans.
The Gungans.
I don't remember these.
It was awful.
I blocked out.
I gotta
be honest with you. I blocked out most of these movies. You asked me a lot of details of the other ones, and I'm pretty sure I watched them. I just don't remember shit about them.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm watching these with Alex, too. And he's liking it. He's not ready to quite admit that he likes it. But, you know, when they're on, he's riveted.
Well, it's a good thing to just have on in the
background. I should say, he's riveted during the action scenes. In between, he picks up his iPad and plays Minecraft.
Well, shit, but we do that, too.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's mine. Yvonne.
Okay. So, I got over here. Oh, my God. My topics list went away.
Yeah, of course it did.
The China devaluation. So,
okay.
So the Chinese went and devalued their currency over the last couple of days and sent the stock markets into a freaking panic. Now, honestly, a couple of people have been talking about this, and whether what does it mean that China devalued? Because China had maintained their currency like very tight trading band for a very long time, and they devalued 2% yesterday and another 1.5% today. So it's not exactly, in terms of like when you see like currency swings, it's not that big a swing. It's more the significance of what what is happening in China internally. And a lot of people see a lot of cracks in the Chinese economy,
mm-hmm.
and that the government is getting worried. Their stock market has been collapsing like over the last few months, and there's been a lot of pressure on the economy. And I think I think that what it means is, to some extent, a certain sign of like significant weakness or perceived weakness by the Chinese government. And some people see it actually as that what they're doing is getting to a sign of like desperation to a certain extent. And you say, well, I mean, yeah. Why would they be desperate, whatever, whatnot? Well, look, there was a chart that I saw the other day. China had been, like, for many, many years, like the U.S. had been for many decades, accumulating foreign reserves, tons and tons of them. Well, shit, over the last 14 months, they've been spending them at an incredibly alarmingly large rate. Now, they're not going to run out of them anytime soon because they got tons and tons of them. But the fact that they have gone from accumulating foreign capital to having to spend a lot of it in like that quick a change. And if you look at the change was rather abrupt. The chart, it was going like, you know, climbing straight up, okay? Then all of a sudden, it just collapsed off a cliff and started going into the other direction.
I will say, this is one thing. As I said at the beginning, we are in person in the same room. So I've never realized before when we were doing this over Skype that when Yvonne says things like it's going up and up, he's doing all kinds of hand motions.
Do hand motions all the time. Yes, everybody makes fun of it. But it's like, yeah, so I don't know what it means long term. I do know that what it does seem is that the Chinese are becoming very deeply concerned about the direction of the economy.
What effect does this have on the United States?
Well, it has multiple effects. Okay, you got to remember, number one, that China is our largest trading partner. Okay, they buy a lot from us and we buy a lot from them. Number one. Number two, it has an impact on jobs in the U.S. because Apple right now, for example, the largest country outside of the U.S. where products are sold is China. And GM is also the biggest customer they have is China. If the currency devalues in China, it means that the profits that they're bringing back to the United States...
Buying power in China is decreasing, so they're not going to be able to buy goods?
Yes. Yes. Has a severe impact on... it could have... If this moves... Look, a 3.5%, that'll make a difference if it stays there. If it keeps moving... Eventually, it could have a significant impact. So it's something to watch for, I think. So at this point, that's where I put it right now.
Okay. Chad, did you come up with something?
No. Go ahead. Back to Sam.
Tell a story about us when we were in college.
No,
come on.
I'm just not feeling it.
Ah, man.
I'm a chimer inner, an interrupter rather than starting a conversation.
Okay, yeah. I'll go again then. I'll tell you. This is a story about me again and technology.
Oh boy, what did you do?
I killed my houseplant.
What do you mean you killed your houseplant?
So there's a plant that my wife gave me probably 7 or so years ago.
And 7 years. Okay.
Somehow I managed to keep the damn thing alive. It had several near-death experiences, like because I'd forget to water it one time I forget I cut it or something by mistake. Whatever, you know. I don't mean to be violent against houseplants, but, you know. But anyway, so like...
But why was technology? It's a plant.
So here's the technology bit. So finally, like this last... A couple months ago, I was in my office and I looked up and I'm like, that looks pretty dead.
No point.
And I'm like, oh, crap. How long has it been since I watered it? It's probably a couple months, okay, since I watered the damn plant.
Okay, well, it's not going to be very good.
And I'm like, I've kept this plant alive for like almost a decade. I'm really upset about this. So I try to, I do some last dish efforts. I'm like, okay, I'll give you lots of water now. Water, water, water.
Yeah, after it's dead. Yeah, exactly. Gee, thanks.
I'm pretty sure it was too late.
Yeah,
it was too late. So anyway, once I tried everything I could try, and I determined, yes, it is dead. It's gone. I did buy a new houseplant, but I also got something called a parrot flower power. And what this is...
A self-watering system?
No, it's not self-watering, but it's a thing I stick in the dirt next to the plant. But it's all Bluetooth enabled and everything, so, and I have an app on my phone. So now whenever my plant wants water, I get an alert on my phone basically saying, I'm thirsty, give me water. Nice.
Oh, for the love of sweet Moses.
And it tells me if it's got too much sunlight or not enough sunlight, and whether it's got the right amount of fertilizer, and you know, those kinds of things. And so, like, the thing will, like, you know, just,
well, I guess that's good. It conserves resources, I guess.
Yeah. So, like, I have to. So, I've.
All right. I got one. This is maybe okay. Testing.
All right, so now,
testing your memory.
Okay.
Going back, you had a, I believe it might have been either on your laptop or an old generation computer that you had.
Okay.
You had a program where you could type something in the computer program, the ancient computer program would talk.
Yes, yes. I've had a variety of things like that.
And you, at one point, used this program to record on your cassette tape answering machine message.
Okay.
The computer voice saying... Sam Minter is not home right now. You've reached his computer. Please leave a message. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Okay, that's what I didn't remember.
A deja vu moment.
Yes.
That was just jarring. At the Pentagon City Mall.
All of a sudden I started talking.
No. The parking, the virtual parking attendant, when you put your ticket in, the voice is exactly your that voice.
Oh,
from
my
back
God.
Then. And it was just a, you know, just a flashback.
You're like, what the hell?
It was just
excellent. I don't remember that particular one, but at the time, you know, I had the answering machine with a little cassette, and I had a bunch of them, and I changed out.
Yeah.
So I had, you know, I had Dan Quayle giving his quote about the United Negro College Fund. I had...
You had one that where he was making fun of me for making a very incorrect campaign prediction for a while.
And there were a number of politicians making stupid statements. There were a number of other things. And it's just like, you know, those things, you know, you used to play around with that. Like, we were kids.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah.
Sort of like switching up the break segments.
Yeah, right? Like the breaks on this show, which we've lucked out. We've had all of the goofy ones this time. None of the more serious ones came up. I pick these randomly every time, but... yeah, and like random signatures on emails and stuff like that used to be all the rage.
Yes.
And I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Did anybody else do that anymore?
No.
Like little pithy quotes and things like that?
No, not really.
No. Does anybody you know still do that?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Yeah, it used to be all the rage.
Yeah, no.
I think it's a sign that you're old.
Yeah.
If you do that or
probably.
Did that.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
we're getting old.
Whatever.
All right.
Okay, your turn.
What about this toxic sludge thing?
I've only seen a couple pictures. It's like orange, right?
All
right,
yeah. So what I understood was that there was these EPA guys that were doing some testing of a location somewhere. I thought it was Nevada. I can't remember exactly.
Oh, the EPA had the largest mass contamination in the United States.
That is correct, yes.
Which is irony.
Yes, they were inspecting a site. They sent a third-party contracting company, and I think my explanation to Sam was like, I guess they were going around as like, they said, hey, what's this button for? Click! And apparently released all the sludge into a massive river system. I don't know. It just
that's EPA's job,
like,
isn't it?
Stupid. Yeah, apparently.
Well, this is one of those things. I mean, obviously, this is presumably a rare event. It doesn't happen all the time. But just in general, when you're testing and monitoring things, you have to be aware that even that has an effect on the system. To give a more serious example, there have been a number of things lately about various preventative cancer testing. And is it or is not it the right thing to do? Because while, yes, it is true that if you catch cancer early, you can potentially do a lot more about it and it's very advantageous. But apparently, there are a lot of negative effects to these tests as well.
Cancer tests.
So, like, if you don't have cancer, you could actually come away with a harmful effect from the test itself including potentially the results of a false positive. Like, in some of these situations, false positives are actually significantly more more likely than an actual correct test. And so you end up, going through procedures you don't really need that all have side effects. And there's actually an open question of, when you balance all this out, are you actually doing more harm through the testing than the benefits you're getting from the people who do get helped?
Yeah, I heard read some discussion about certain mammogram techniques for that.
Yeah.
By the way, I just showed you guys a picture.
Yeah, there it is.
That's horrible.
3 million gallons of toxic mustard.
It's the Animas River in Durango, Colorado.
Basically the color of mustard.
Mustard-tinted sludge containing lead and arsenic into a river system that also spans New Mexico and Utah.
Speaking of river systems and such, what's the deal about the pollution in Rio for the Olympics?
You know, the pollution in Brazil over the last, 20 years, has been cleaned up substantially.
The Olympics are an abomination.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with that. But just to finish the thought on pollution in Brazil, they've done a lot of efforts where a lot of that pollution has been cleaned up substantially. It's nowhere nearly as bad as it used to be. Is it, up to what...
Specific thing that has been reported in the last week or so is they're testing some of the waters where they're supposed to be holding events, and they're coming up significantly above the levels that are recommended for humans touching that water.
Well, I'm sure as the Brazilians do often, they're very late in everything. So I'm sure that at some point they'll figure it out. But Chad made... Look, I'm with Chad on this thing. I hate the Olympics. Yeah. The Olympics used to be an event for amateurs to show competition, and now it's just some competition to basically turn poor countries bankrupt.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I mean, the Olympics come in. There's all sorts of construction where there's human trafficking taking place to perform the construction.
Nah, it's retarded.
All of this infrastructure is built
and then
abandoned.
Yeah, like Sochi in Russia, for God's sakes. This is just a display of Putin trying to show how big his dick is.
And
or
it's
something,
probably
for God's
the
sakes,
same
so
thing
retarded.
As FIFA. The people that run the Olympics are getting bribes.
Oh, 100%.
Getting rich off of it.
I agree.
People in the country just get totally screwed.
Hey, make it, you want to make it some for-profit event that we're going around and making money? Fine, then do it, okay? Get people to pay for it. Get private people to pay for all the construction. Do all of this shit. But stop getting governments in hock in order to freaking go and enrich your damn pockets this way. It's just retarded.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do another one. Jon Stewart had his last show last week. Bye bye Daily Show.
I know, but I you know what? I wasn't. I watched a lot of clips of the Daily Show, but I was never a guy to watch it regularly.
Yeah, I hadn't in a long, long, long time.
His show was very amusing.
We've talked about this for all of these shows. It's like, I guess some people do watch them and watch the whole damn shows, but most people, if something happens that's funny on one of those shows,
the
clip will get spread around on social media and you'll watch the clip.
However, I will say that sort of a successor to that, the show called Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, is 1.5 hour per week. It's condensed and it's good from start to finish. It's kind of a must watch.
I've only watched clips of that. I've never actually watched the show.
It's
from
outstanding,
end to end.
But yeah, you're right. You can go onto YouTube. He puts all the good
segments
up there.
Yeah.
But you watch them, they're all good.
Yeah, agreed.
It's just
I've not yet seen something from him that I did not like.
I agree.
Both in terms of being funny and amusing, and also being spot on whatever issue he's critiquing.
Yeah, and if you're on there, look out. You're doing something stupid, and you deserve to be skewered.
Yeah.
Okay, Yvonne.
Oh, gosh, I don't think I have... Well, Jimmy Carter has cancer.
That's sad, but you know what? I mean, maybe we're done with the episode. This is a good episode.
We got a few more minutes.
He's 90. He's old. It's about to happen.
Yeah.
I was watching a little bit of the 1970s or the 70s on CNN. It was some kind of... It was really good. And they were not kind to Jimmy Carter. Just when I was flipping channels between that and something else.
Well, I was looking at some of the recently I saw the name Jimmy Carter popped up, and I popped up some surveys that showed what our opinions of ex-presidents are. I will say that Jimmy Carter is on the majority of Americans right now view him positively. Unlike, say, for example, Johnson, which the majority view negatively. Nixon, obviously, they view majority view negatively. The ones and H.W. Bush was number one in like old presidents past. Their positive view, George G.H.W. Bush was number one. And probably at the bottom were like Nixon, Johnson, and W.
Right.
Yeah, those were the three at the bottom. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, like you said, he's old. He's 90-ish. I forget exactly how old he is.
He spent most of his time doing good stuff.
But at the time, he was very unpopular and had a bad reputation. Look,
but the thing is, he was actually doing okay up until the Iran hostage crisis. That's really what really precipitated.
And then the wheels went off the rails.
And then that was really. But if you looked at the polling, like of his when he was of his tenure, it wasn't that bad. It was decent up until that happened, and then it just forget it.
Yeah, because everybody blamed him for that and for all the follow up, and then he had the rescue mission that failed, and then it just. Yeah, you
just could never recover.
You can't recover from that.
He
like regardless of what else was or was not going on,
he just could not recover from that.
He had an economy that kind of sucked during his whole time too.
But even
always hurts.
But and the thing is, remember, we had very high inflation. We had a whole bunch of things happening. We had oil that we had the oil price spike. We had inflation. We had a whole bunch of things happening at that time. But really, if you look at it, what did him in was the whole Iran thing. I mean, if it wasn't for Iran, he probably would have won a second term, in my opinion, like right now. So
it would have been a lot closer. Like, I mean, it was a Reagan blowout, given how it was.
Oh, yeah. But it was like, geez, with the whole Iran thing going on, it's like, I mean, his approval rating was so in the tank. I mean, it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah. And of course, the Iranians specifically held on to them longer to wait for him to leave.
I know.
Like, they had essentially a deal, like a while before Reagan was supposed to be inaugurated, and they waited until they saw Reagan take the oath on TV, and then they let Boston just go.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Like they had a deal. It was like up until the moment of the inauguration, Carter was on the phone dealing with stuff, trying to get that thing done. And basically,
why wouldn't they deal with him? I mean,
they did. I mean, they made the deal, but I guess they just wanted to. They just wanted to see him lose.
After November 3rd, there's not going to be a different president.
Right. Well, they want
the president is set. At that point.
This was just a way to stick their thumb in his eye.
Yeah.
They're just like, the hostages are not coming out on your watch. They will come out as soon as the next guy's in.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I got one more thing that I just thought we should mention. We'll do one. Google. And this alphabet thing. What the hell is going on with that, Yvonne?
Look, I read the whole thing. I mean, all it seemed like... I mean, okay, they didn't really split up into separate companies.
Right.
Okay, all right. They just created one holding company that owns, like, all the different things that Google does. And they separated... I think they made it for financial reporting, to be honest with you, because it's one of the things that I've been banging about Google over the last number of years, and found out that some Googleites actually agree with me. The fact that they spend money on a whole bunch of shit that doesn't make money, and then you've got these other things that do make money. And the reality is, when you looked at Google's financials, you could never tell what the hell were just the projects done to fuck around.
Because they weren't split out.
They weren't split out. And now they are. You're going to get that transparency. And another thing is that they created a different operating structure where they have a CEO for Google, what they call Google, and then they have for the other subsidiaries, and then they have the guy who heads Alphabet that apparently oversees everything, and now is seeing them as different companies under the Alphabet umbrella. I would have thought they would have kept it under the Google umbrella with other things underneath, but I don't know. They call it Alphabet. I don't know.
Even that, they've gotten like some stuff like, somebody else had the domain name, somebody else had the Twitter account.
For
BMW
Alphabet?
Has something related to Alphabet.
Why am I not surprised?
And so, like, I saw the guy who owns the @Alphabet Twitter tag, Tweeted right after this came out, a few hours after this came out.
I'm rich?
No, he said, well, that was an interesting way to end the day. You know, but...
he gained about 50 million followers.
Probably, I'm sure.
Probably, and, you know, they might be offering... I mean, they got like, Alphabet Inc. or something, but... What a,
it's really like, you couldn't I mean I it's just like found it it just seemed like really the whole thing
and there are all kinds of other companies that are actually named Alphabet, so it's like
it just seemed like honestly like very amateurish, the whole thing. Yeah. With the name they picked and everything. Alphabet, really?
It's like
Alphabet?
Did they come up with that last week?
Yeah, what the hell? I mean, really? I mean, you couldn't like do all this research? Oh shit, we shouldn't pick this name. They've got the Twitter handle, they got this, they got that. I mean, really? It just, I don't know. It just really seemed not... It, honestly, the whole thing as I saw it, my perspective, I saw the whole thing about transparency or whatever, but it didn't seem all that well thought out. That was my thought. Yeah. So.
Eh, as usual, we'll see how it plays out. So, are they going to trade separately?
No.
No?
No.
So is,
no, they're not.
Is, what survived? Is that going to be an Alphabet
it's
stock?
It's going to be an Alphabet stock instead of Google stock. Exactly. I mean, it's just bizarre. Bizarre. Whatever.
Okay, I think that's basically a show.
That's it.
So, thanks, guys, for being here in person. This was fun.
Yeah.
You know, we did the debate thing last week. This week we did it in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell are we going to do next time?
I don't know. We'll do it from a plane.
Do it from a plane. I was thinking the moon, but you know.
The moon? Well, that's a little bit further away.
A little bit further?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, the... Chad Hunter here for the first time participating
Thanks
in the
for
show.
Having me.
Maybe someday you'll listen to a show now.
Yes,
I wouldn't hold my breath.
and of course Yvonne Bo. So thanks everybody, and you know you have all the usual ways to get a hold of us. Since none of the randomly chosen breaks said it. Which usually I don't know, so I wouldn't care. I'd say, like, you'll figure it out. Hey, look for us on Facebook. We're Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook. We love your likes. We love your comments. We love
Twitter,
interacting with
you. Can follow... I'm at IMBO. Sam's at Ablesme. A-B-U-L-S-M-E. Okay.
And Chad's something.
I'm something I can't even remember. I have zero tweets.
Go. Well, so, okay.
In my Twitter career, I've tweeted zero times.
Well, there you go.
So that would be an account well worth following.
It won't clutter up your...
Won't clutter up your news feed, that's for
sure. That's right.
For reference, Chad is CNH2R1 on Twitter.
Somebody else had CNH2R? She's shitting me?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Okay.
And yes, zero tweets. So that's and six,
he may get off the schneid soon.
And six followers right now. So
six.
Like,
am I following him? Jesus.
No. Probably not.
Then, damn it! I gotta follow him. All right then.
Well, let's see if we can get Chad up to 10 followers.
Yay!
After listening to this show.
All right.
anyway, thanks everybody for joining us. Hey, have a great week. We're gonna go wrap up this evening, and this sort of wraps up my visit with my college friends for this week, and we'll be back to normal next week, I guess. I'm actually visiting my dad and my stepmom for the rest of the week, so
there you
I'm
go.
Still I'm actually taking like a kind of vacation.
Yes, you are,
which is incredibly rare for me.
Yes, it is. But
anyway, goodbye everybody, have a great week. We'll talk to you next time. Everybody say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Goodbye.